verse and say, why is it powerful? I'm going to say it again. Call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not of or which you don't know. God is saying if you call upon him, he will show you great and mighty things. I want you to know what we're going to talk about today is prayer. He said, call upon me. That is prayer. Prayer, he said, now I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know. Now, let me tell you something. In this life, we got these things that we go through that we know, right? And the things that we know sometimes in life can generate some anxiety because, you know, a lot of things we may not have control over, right? And I was just thinking myself, how many things we rely on things to, like, keep us stable, but the things those devices, for example, right? If you got a health condition, you may take medication, right? You look for the medication to keep you all together, but at the same time, it may cause another effect. You know, if you know the side effects to that medication, and you like, you're just hopeful that you don't get worse and that this thing will work. You understand what I'm saying? And the reason why I'm bringing that up is because God is saying, if you got an issue, you call upon me and I will show you great and mighty things. But with God answering our prayers, God meeting our needs, there is no side effects, right? So, but if you deal with man and in this life, if you deal with man and the things of this world, when for example, if we're looking for encouragement from somebody, And we go and we talk to them and we seek encouragement from them, and then they begin to tell us how we did everything wrong. You're like, I came to you for encouragement, but now I feel like you're beating me down. Those are the side effects of going to people, right? You understand what I'm saying? The side effects of I need somebody, but I went to them and they didn't give me what I was looking for. It's just like the medication, it can treat one thing and cause another thing. And you're like, hold up, what I came for is like worse off now that I'm using that. I thought this was supposed to help me. I'm saying that to say that for many of us, if we really understand God and his love for us, you understand he is the source of all of our needs, right? And the scripture in Jeremiah 33:3, he said, call upon me and I will answer you. He didn't say, I might answer you. Maybe sometimes I'll answer you. No. He said, if you call upon me, he said, I will answer you. That's a promise, right? And then he said, I will show you great and mighty things. So listen, if I got a problem in this and I can't solve it, and God is saying, I'm going to show you great and mighty things. I don't know what comes to your mind, but in my mind, God is going to show me way beyond whatever it is that I needed. Like, God, I need you to do this. He said, I'm going to show you more than that. Whatever you need, I'm going to give you more than that. I'm going to do more than that. And he said, what you don't know, and I would say, when he said you don't know, it's like you don't understand, because our mind is limited in what we can believe is possible. You know what I mean? It's like our mind is limited. It's like if I need a breakthrough, I only expect a minimal, because I don't want to hope too much, because if I hope too much, then maybe it won't happen. You understand? God is saying, I understand your finite mind. He said, your ways are not like my ways, and your thoughts are not my thoughts. And understand this, the greatest thing we can understand is that God, the God we serve, is the creator of all things. And he said he will cause all things. He said he made all things to work together for his good, right? And if we love him, his promise to us is that everything will work out to our good. So you might be going through something and you say, you can look at the situation and say, how could this work out to my good? How could this ailment work out to my good? I can tell you how real quick. If you lean upon God and you trust God and God heal you, you got a testimony. Hey, that's how it worked out to your good, because what you'll find out is some of the things that you're dealing with that it seems like the specialists can't figure out, the doctors can't figure it out. I'm going to everybody and they sending me this way, that way, and the other way. And what I'm finding out is that they're practicing medicine, but I need somebody that is on point with the medicine. You hear what I'm saying? They practice medicine, but when you're practicing, you don't always get it right. You understand? But when you're talking about the great physician, and I'm just using because today what we're going to talk about is prayer, but in order for us to understand when we pray, our prayer changes things. I'm going to talk about different kinds of prayer, but the ultimate goal of today's sermon is to get you to understand that in everything we seek God. Not some things. Not some things are too small for God or some things are too big for God. And even sometimes we say, well, I believe God, but I'm going to do it and hope that he bless it. If that's your belief, that's not how God does things. He moves by his mighty power, and he expects us to trust him. Remember, this is not a prayer, but it was an act of faith when Jesus was walking on water and all the disciples saw him, and they said, it's a ghost. And Peter, he noticed that it was Jesus, and he said, Lord, you know, that's Jesus. And Jesus said, yeah, it's me. And Peter said, Lord, if it's you, can I come? And Jesus' response was, come. Come. You know, he told him to come. And then Peter stepped out, you know, of his comfort zone. He stepped out of the boat. You hear me? He stepped out. He's like, okay, I'm going to see you. Right? And then he stepped out on the water, and he began to walk towards Jesus. He began to walk towards Jesus. And as he saw and realized, okay, it's a little windy out here. I'm walking on water. This ain't supposed to happen. And it says that he began to sink. He began to sink. And as he began to sink, Jesus reached down, and then he pulled him up. And he said, Peter, why did you doubt? See, that happens to us all of the time. We pray, God began to move, and then we feel like, hold up, I don't know. The doctor said it's going away. Is that the medicine, or is that God? I think it's the medicine. That's why you still got it. Because God, one thing God requires from us is faith. And that illustration of Peter stepping out, it's like, God, I believe. Jesus said, oh, you believe? Come. Okay, I believe, but our belief has to continue. We can't start believing and understand what the winds and the water is. The winds and the water are circumstances in the devil too. You know, they are real life circumstances, but you know the devil will get behind it because one thing he fears is that if you really see the power of God, it's going to change you. You hear what I'm saying? So he going to try to get you. Look at the water. You see how the waves is? You ain't supposed to get nothing. He's going to try to. You feel that wind against you? You know, he told you to come. I don't know, but you ain't him. And all of that stuff. And you begin to feel what we naturally feel. But the Bible talks about, and I say naturally because our flesh will tell us this ain't right. The evil spirits will say, don't believe it. Why? Because it's an attack. The Bible says that the flesh is enmity or enemy of God. That our natural bodies, it's like, for example, if you ever went to pray and you fall asleep, you went to pray, I fall asleep. Anybody can raise your hand, you ever did that before? Okay, so your flesh is warring against what God wants for you. And so on the very inside of you, he told us to crucify our flesh. And even for Peter to arrest those thoughts that would cause you to think, I'm not supposed to be here. Because just imagine this. Had Peter completely walked on water with Jesus, how much different would he have felt in the Garden of Gethsemane? Maybe not. Because what he would have did something that was impossible to do. Like he did it, but he didn't fulfill it. You understand what I'm saying? He didn't get a chance to dance on it and do the two-step. You know what I mean? If he would have did the two-step, that testimony would have never went anywhere. But he couldn't hear that testimony that I sank no more because I sank. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to share that I walked on it a little bit and then I sank. You know what I mean? That's not a testimony. But if I walked on the water and I did two-step, hold up. You know, let me tell you what I did before, in Jesus' name. You know, so it's something about God fulfilling what he said he's going to do in our lives and us believing to the manifestation of whatever it is that we pray. Jeremiah 33:3, call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not of. Saints, I believe many of us have great faith, but it's crazy how we believe. We can believe that when we die, we'll go to heaven. We can believe that. But we won't believe. And we never seen heaven, mind you. We never seen heaven. We can believe that. But we can't believe God to give us the money for a bill. We can't believe God to fix a relationship or fix our health or fix something going on in the child that we got. You know, like, we can believe God that we're going to be with him in heaven and we got a mansion. But we can't believe for the things that we see. So hear what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to give you a perspective that how can you believe something you didn't even see, but you have difficulty with the things you see every day, right? So just change a little bit of the way you see things and just understanding that if you believe that God created the heavens and you'll get there and you'll walk on streets of gold, then you got to believe that the things of this life ain't nothing for him. And understand why we doubt. We doubt because of two things, evil spirits, right? And then we got our flesh. We got our flesh. So our natural nature opposes God, right? And then we got evil spirits that are constantly, and that's why I use the illustration of Peter to say, this is what Peter had to deal with, you know, and even the disciples, when they were in the boat, the other thing when it was, you know, it looked like it was, I'm going to call it a tornado, right? You know, it was the winds and the waves. But I just call it a tornado in the water, and the boat is rocking, and the boat is rocking, and Jesus is sleeping. And the disciples, even though Jesus is on the boat, they like, Jesus, how can you sleep? They go wake him up. Jesus, wake up, wake up. And they wake him up, and he gets up, and he say, like, Jesus asks questions, like, why are you waking me up? You know what I mean? And they're like, you don't know what's going on. You know, you don't know what's going on. And then he got up and he rebuked the winds and the waves. He began to rebuke the winds and the waves. And it says that it all stopped. And they said, even the winds and the waves obey him. Why am I saying what I'm saying? Because the power of prayer and all of these things is speaking to some of it. Some prayers is speaking to circumstances. Some prayers is believing God. Some prayers is supplicating for somebody else. And I'm going to get into what they are, but in everything, you got to believe. That's right. Jeremiah 33, call upon me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not of. Some of us, we want somebody to pray for us. Let me tell you something. Because you are a child of God, if you believe you got a right to the kingdom, then know that you can pray for yourself. I'm going to tell you, it is power in your tongue, it is power in your hands, and it's power because of your relationship, because of to whom you belong. If you don't like something that's going on in your life, I'm going to tell you what you do. Father, I don't like this situation. Father, I don't like this situation. You start talking to him. He said, call upon me. And you ask me, God, I don't like this situation. You could ask him, what should I do? Many times what he'll tell you to do is lean upon me, right? Not do anything, but trust me. Lean upon me. And when God tells us stuff like that, sometimes we get a little impatient. God, I just need you to do something. But when God do things, he does things not like we would. Like we want to just go address the situation. God is sometimes working behind the scenes and bringing in other people and other things that we have no idea about. And why we get frustrated is because it's not going the way we want. But one of the things God will give us to a believer is trust me, know that I'm God. Know that I'm God. Know that I'm God and I'm working it out. But we begin to look at the waves. The waves, God, you see the waves, you see what they're saying, you see how they're acting, God, you see how they're kicking, Lord. I don't like this. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? But God, how long? Do you trust me? And see, some of the delay is that our faith drops. Some of the delay is because we believe, but yet we don't believe. And what I would tell you with that, yet I don't believe, is just tell God that. God, I believe, but I need you to increase my faith. He said, in everything, talk to me. See, because he knows you. He knows you, and he called you by name. But sometimes our flesh tells us, I'm not good enough. You know, I deserve this. You know, God, I know you can change things, but you know what? I haven't been so good. And you know what he would tell you if you could hear God's voices? I knew that when I saved you. I knew who you were. You're not doing anything to surprise me. When I saved you to the uttermost. I saved you from now into eternity. So when you come to me, acknowledge what you did wrong. Don't, you know, just acknowledge it to me. He said, confess it to me. And he said, I'll forgive you. So you don't have to walk around with condemnation, because I'm going to tell you who's condemning you. The enemy is condemning you, right? He's the adversary of our souls, and our flesh is condemning us.
You know, we can't do this today. We don't want to pray. We don't want to pray today. You know what? Why? You know, let me watch that show. Because you know what? I do like Ellen. I'm just saying. But, you know, and it's just contrary. The Bible says enmity, enemy of God. And so one of the things we got to understand is that God is not like us. He don't move like us. But if you begin to trust him, if you begin to lay hands on him, and it's like Jacob wrestled with an angel. In the Old Testament, we see that he wanted something from God, and an angel came. And I don't think he realized it was an angel till afterward. You understand? But sometimes things came in your life, and it says, from the evening till the morning, he wrestled. I used to wrestle. I can't wrestle that long. But that means that sound like to me somebody that don't want to let go of what they're looking for. I can't let you go. I can't let you go. It says Daniel fasted in the book of Daniel, that he prayed, and then he prayed and he fasted and he fasted and he prayed and he prayed and he fasted. And God said, I answered you when you asked me. But there's a war going on. Don't dare get in your feelings and say, where's God? There is a war going on for what you asked me for. But he said, I answered you when you asked me. I don't know if you got that, but he said, I answered you when you asked me. I love you. Don't you know that I love you? I will give you better than whatever any parent on this earth can give their child. He said, I'll give you more. He said, if a father would give a son bread, how much more would a heavenly father give to those who ask him? Ask him and ask him. And he will show you great and mighty things. Mighty things, not small things. He's a big God. He is a big God, not a small God. No, he's not like anything we know in this life. He's not like that. Great things, mighty things. What is prayer? Prayer is our direct line with heaven. Prayer is a communication and a process that allows us to talk with God, and he wants us to communicate with him. Why would God want us to communicate with him? It's a simple reason. Because we're his children. If you are a parent and you love your child, you want your child to talk to you. And if they avoid you, you think there's something going on. You don't want to talk to me? Well, I know you're up to something. And let me tell you, when we don't talk to God, he knows you up to something. You know, if your child don't talk to you, you know they're up to something. And if we don't talk to God, he knows we're up to something. And the reason why as a parent you don't want your child to avoid you, because you know if you ain't listening to me, you're listening to somebody. And 9 times out of 10, that somebody you're listening to don't got no good meant for you. That's why as a parent, you're like, I don't like that friend. I don't like that friend. What do you think God is saying? Oh, I don't like that friend. I don't like that friend. Loose yourself from these relationships that are toxic. God is a good father. He's the same way, but he's better. He is not only your father, he's God. You got the king of the universe as a father. Huh, I don't think we get that. The things you've been dealing with is not your dealings, you understand? They're his.
He said, your problems are my problems. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and call upon me. And he said, he will give us rest. Your problem is not your problem. It is his, but you don't give it to him. And if you do give it to him, you don't keep it in his hands. You take it back and talk about it. And tell your friend how you're still dealing with it. Then you give it to God? Yeah, but I took it back and I told him how much I'm going through. You hear what I'm saying? Did you get that? I'm going to say it again. You took your problem, you gave it to him. But then you took it back and started telling everybody what you're dealing with. Are you dealing with it or is God dealing with it? I'm going to say it one more time because I know y'all still probably not missing it. Understand when you got it. You took it and you gave it to him. But then you took it back and you started telling everybody how you're dealing with it. You're dealing with it. No. It's his problem. You gave it to him. Trust him with it. It ain't yours. Praise God. He got it. God, I thank you for whatever it is I'm asking you for. If it's finances, I thank you for the finances, God. God, if it's restoration of relationships, I thank you for it. If it's salvation for my family members, I thank you for it. God, you can take the small things. You can take the discarded things. And you can restore them, Lord. You can do what we can't do because guess what? You're God. That's why. Because you're not me. I know I can't do it. And when you recognize how powerless you are and how incapable you are, it's easier for you to just say, you know what? Thank you, God. That's why it's good to be humble. Because if you're prideful, you say, I got this. But when you know you don't got it, you can say, God, I don't got this. It's real easy to relinquish control when you can be honest about who you are and be humble at the same time. God, I don't got this, but I know you got it. Nothing is hidden from your sight. Nothing you don't know about. I know you know about all my problems, God. But I present them before you because they're too big for me. They're too big for me, God. I need you. Now, like never before. And I believe if we pray those earnest prayers where we confessing, hearing what I'm saying, not just petitioning, but confessing who we are to God. God, I don't got this. Because let me tell you, when we say, God, I don't got this. If you have a principality, if you got a demon that is assigned to your life, that has been harassing you, that every time you go to pray, all these overwhelming thoughts come to your mind, and you're like, God, I'm trying to pray, but my brain is foggy. God, I'm trying to pray, but everything is around me. If you just call out to God, and you scream out to God, God, I don't got this, then he say, angels, go get it. Angels, go get it. Angels, go get it. But sometimes what we do is we just get up and go walk somewhere. Good, get up, and I can't do this right now. Don't do that. No, 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 no. Confess where you are. The Bible says confess your sin. Look, you know, and we confess it to God. And God will begin to move on our behalf. So one of the things you want to do is learn how to worship and praise when we go to before God. Before you ask God for anything, praise him for who he is. Worship him for who he is. And just call, tell him who he is to you. You know what I mean? Sometimes you got to remind yourself. But sometimes you got to remind the atmosphere around you what you know. And hear what I'm saying. If the atmosphere around you is full of principalities and powers, you want to get them out of your atmosphere? Start praising God. Because the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. So you begin to worship and praise God. No matter what you're going through, you worship and praise him. And he said, who? I hear a sound in the earth. I hear a sound in the earth. Something is going on. And it might be little old you. But guess what? Little old you is precious in God's eyesight. And he's hearing you praising and worship him. And then he looks at it. Do you know what they worship him, praising me through? Oh, because God see the whole situation before you ask him. He already know what you need, right? He look at him and they're praying. They're believing me. They're praising me. Oh, I want to go answer that. Because some people will curse God in the midst of it. Because God, you're not showing up. God said, "If you, oh, are you praising and you worshiping me despite the circumstance? Oh, I got to remind you how Paul and Silas prayed when they was in prison. They was in prison to be beheaded. And guess what? It says, in the midnight hour, Paul and Silas prayed. And for those that know the scripture, know that they prayed. And then the angel came, showed up within the cell, and he began to loose their chains. And the angel told them to come. And then as the angel led them out, there was a gatekeeper that said, I'm going to kill myself. And Paul said, don't you do that. Don't you do that. Even your enemies can't stand when God is moving. You hear what I'm saying? We got to believe God. Yes. Then we got petitions and we got intercession. Those things are when we're going to God on behalf of ourselves or even somebody else. We got petitions and we interceding and we asking God to move and do great and mighty things. Those are the things. We take to God and we lay our burdens on him. Those are other prayers. And the reason why I'm going to tell you different kinds of prayers, because there's never a time you shouldn't be praying. You know, the Bible says pray without ceasing. And you'd be like, well, how can I pray without ceasing? I can't pray all the time. Oh, you can sing. You sing songs, I'm sure, when you got a good song that you like, you can sing it all the time. Listen, worship and praise is the sort of prayer. It's a communion with God. It's saying, God, I love you. That's what worship and praise is. It's saying, God, I love you. So I ain't talking about you always got to say, God, do this and do that. You know, sometimes you can just tell him, God, I love you, and worship and praise. You hear what I'm saying? You know, if you have a child and they came to you, oh, mommy, you're so beautiful. Oh, daddy, you're so strong. If a child did that to you every day, you're going to love that child. Hear what I'm saying? I'm saying it again. If a child came to you and said, oh, mommy, you're so beautiful. Daddy, you're so strong every day. You know that child loves you. You're going to love that child. You hear what I'm saying? It's called adoration for somebody else. And when we adore God, God adore us. If you love me, I love you. But God loves us first anyway. He already loves us. But when you start loving on him, he will love on you even more. That's why those in the Old Testament or even in the New, when they began to seek God, God showed up strong. He did miracles for them that he didn't do for somebody else. And the only difference is it's not who they are or what kind of degree they had. Or they can be nobodies. But it has a lot to do with the love they had for God. And the more you sow into God, God will sow into you. Then we got supplication. Supplication is the act of asking or begging. I want to go back to petition and intercession. Prayer exercise when we are not concerned with our own needs, but rather the needs of others. Intercession is when we're praying for somebody else. Supplication is when we are asking God earnestly or humbly through kneeling or praying, and we are most times asking God to help us to be in total surrender. And then we got thanksgiving, which is not worship and praise. Thanksgiving is thanking God and acknowledging all the things that he did do already, right? And for what he will do, you know? So when thanksgiving is not necessarily worship and praise, worship and praise is just all about God. But in thanksgiving, you're thanking God for what you know we're already done. Let me talk about in the armor of God, it talks about having the shield of faith. One of the things about the shield of faith is I believe, but one of the things how your faith gets stronger is by you reminding yourself about things God has done. God done this. Well, if he done this, he could do this. Like, if it's nothing too hard for God, because I've seen him do this. So reminding yourself and then thanking God for what he already done. Because one thing as a parent, if you got a child, you don't like an ungrateful child. You give them this, and then they say, well, you should have got me that, Daddy. You know what I'm talking about? I give a child this. I'm like, you like this? Nah, not really. I would like the red one better. Okay, well, give me back that one. You hear what I'm saying? So we want to, you hear what I'm saying? So just thanking God for what he done already. And then confession. I talked about confession, but then the last one I want to give is spiritual warfare. Because spiritual warfare is not, it's more so speaking than it is asking. You understand? Because if we understand the scriptures where God said that we shall lay hands on the sick and we shall eat any deadly thing and it shall not hurt us. And it talks about that how he gave us his power to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions. And he told us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. God talks about us warring. What does that mean? What does that mean? That means that you are in the fight. He said it's not against flesh and blood. Sometimes it manifests in flesh and blood. Hear what I'm saying. Because every demonic spirit outside of the principalities and powers, the evil spirits need a host, need a body. So they operate through people, but it's not a people. And we, you might say, where is that in the Bible? How can you explain that? Remember when, and sometimes I don't go there for the lack. I don't want to break anything, so I'm just going to flow. So when Jesus was speaking to Peter, he said, Peter, I'm going to die. Peter said, no, you're not. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. He looked at Peter. He wasn't talking to Peter. He addressed Satan. Why? Because Satan at that time was speaking through Peter. You hear what I'm saying? The evil spirits need a host. Sometimes you see a person and their face change up. 9 times out of 10, if their face change up, there's something else going on. You hear what I'm saying? We was having a good conversation and face changes. Hear what I'm saying? Peter was spoken through by the devil. It's not about Christianity. And you say, well, he was saved. Because remember, Peter cast out demons. So how could the devil show up? How could the devil show up in Peter when Peter had already cast out devils? Now, look, I'm going to give you a little bit of revelation. There's two things we still got. We got the flesh, and we got the spirits we wrestling against. The flesh identifies with the devil. It agrees with the devil. You hear what I'm saying? The flesh is enemy of God, enmity with God. It agrees with the devil. The flesh want what the flesh wants. And that means the flesh is naturally prideful. The flesh naturally want to take selfies all day. You know, that's the flesh. Like, hear what I'm saying. The flesh is like me on parade. You hurt my feelings. Even if I did hurt yours, you hurt mine first. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like the flesh is all about flesh. You hear what I'm saying? And so the reason why Satan had access to Peter was because when Jesus said what he said, Peter got offended. Are you going to die? No, you're not. And then immediately Satan came in. You might say, so what about Peter gave access to the devil? Simple submission. When we don't submit, we automatically rebel. When we don't submit, we automatically rebel. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. You hear how deep that is? When we don't submit, we automatically rebel. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. What gave access to Peter? And with Austin, sometimes give access to us. That's why it's good to confess. Because let me tell you about confession. Where the demons and devils have access to our life is because we hold on to a lot of things. I believe if I went through all of the things like addictions, all kind of addictions, right? Things we deal with, sexual, drug addiction, gossiping, and all of these different things. You can know it's wrong, but you can't stop. You know, one of the reasons why we'll hold on and be like, this is just my vice. This is just my thing. We, like, lay hold on the areas where we're weak. And we like, God, just deal with it. And what God did, that's not how we pray, God, just deal with it. We say, God, I surrender. You hear what I'm saying? It's a difference between God, deal with it, and God, surrendering. God, take this from me. I don't want it. But the problem that we got is the problem that many had in that day when Jesus said, He said for us, he said them to crucify their flesh and give up all to follow him. And it says that when he began to talk about them dying and not loving anything more than him, it says many walked away. The problem that we got, God, I want to surrender, but I don't want to surrender everything. And the difficult that we got is really surrendering everything. And then when we don't surrender everything because we got this vice that even though it's bad, it's the way I am. Like if somebody talked to me and I always snap back and, like, I may not cuss them out, but in the energy that I cuss them out. You hear what I'm saying? But I'm a Christian. You know what the devil do is he uses that because you are a Christian as a means to keep them out of the kingdom. You hear what I'm saying? So that's a strategy that Satan uses. He go right in their ear right away. You see, they say they saved. So if I was you, I would never believe that guy. You know what I mean? But at the same time, you might afterwards feel so guilty. That's the proof it's the devil. Because you might do it in full strength. And then afterwards, you feel so bad. And you know why? Because in that moment, you fell prey to the enemy. And Peter fell prey to the enemy. So it's just not like because we're saved, we're not open to be influenced. You got to watch when you feel overly anxious about something where you can't get no sleep and you up all night. No, I'm going to tell you right now, your flesh ain't that anxious. That's a spirit. Your flesh ain't that anxious. It's a spirit telling you, you know, you should just give up and you should just quit and don't nobody care about you. And all these other thoughts are compounding you to where your heart might be racing. You just can't get your mind right. And I will tell you that in that moment, 9 times out of 10, you see, now your flesh should be lazy, right? But a spirit will be something where it's overwhelmingly confusing you and taking over you. And at that point, that's when you got to get up and do something like what the Bible says. We addressing the situation. See, because in spiritual warfare, you get up and you address the situation. Now you already know who you are because you're a child of God. So you're going to use Jesus' name and you're going to use his blood. And you're going to begin to speak to whatever is going on. If it's in my mind, I command this demon or devil to leave my mind. Fear, whatever you're feeling, you call it and you address it. If I feel depressed, oh, depression, you got to go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus and by his blood, I am free right now. And I guarantee, if you begin to do those things, if you understand what spiritual warfare is all about, it's about knowing who you are and who you belong to. And then he said that if you believe me, you take his word and you begin to apply his word. And the reason why I said speak to use his name and his blood is because it's in his word. And I'm just telling you how to apply his word. Because his word says that he who is free indeed. And then it talks about casting down every stronghold. It says, what's that scripture? Oh, man. I know it's like casting down every imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ. It says, he told us, bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. What is a thought? A thought is an image in our mind. It's an image. We speak and communicate through words, but a thought is an image, right? And if the image is in your mind, don't exalt God. He said, cast down those strongholds. If the image is in your mind, don't agree. And I want to remind you how the mind works and the flesh works, right? Many times when you go to do the right thing or you go to do, you're seeking God and those images, how many... I want you by show of hands, when you go to do the right thing, you got a opposing image. Anybody ever had opposing image in your mind? Right? That opposing image, he said, is a high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. He said, cast it down. So that's when you get up and you're not asking God for anything. You're taking his word and his blood and you say, in the name of Jesus, this thought of fear, go away right now in Jesus' name. This thought that my children is going to die in their sin? No, God. I already asked you to restore them. It ain't going to happen. God, I thank you for restoring them. That spirit of fear that say, what's the point in praying? I haven't seen any breakthrough. You a liar. Get out of here in Jesus' name. It ain't going to happen. And what I'm trying to tell you is, when you take God's word, he said he will write it upon your heart. Let me tell you about the heart a little bit. When God writes something upon your heart, everybody knows the heart is not the physical heart. It's our affections. He said, I will put my word upon your heart. And what he meant by that is I'm going to give you my word and you're going to love it. It's going to be your life's, it's going to be your life sustainer. So when you're living in this life, you're not going to be ill-equipped. You're going to have a sword, which is the word of God. You're going to have something to fight with. And when you understand who God is, when you understand who God is and that he honors his word, Isaiah 55 and 11, he says, so shall be the word that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that what I set it out to do, and it shall prosper. What God is saying in Isaiah 55 and 11, whatever he speaks, it come to pass. He spoke the earth, it came to pass. You know, he spoke us, and it came to pass. And then he gave that power through Jesus, and he gave it to us. And he said, Jesus cursed the tree because it didn't have any figs. And when they came back the next day, the tree was dead. And they said, Jesus, you remember you cursed it? Yeah, he said, I cursed it and you can do it. Tell this mountain be thou removed and it removed. These are the spiritual warfare. Speak to the atmosphere. See, if David lived in this day, he could have said the same way he said you weren't circumcised Philistine. He could have did it on this side of Jesus and said it and said you'd be dead and didn't even have to throw a sling. All he had to do was speak to it. See, you got to understand we're living in a different time. That although he used a sling, we got a sling in our mouth. It's called the word of God. That we can speak to situations and circumstances. You know what I mean? And the reason why we miss it is like Elisha. And I bring up some of the things that God has used to change my mind. When Elijah and the army was coming to get Elijah. And the servant said, Elijah, they're going to kill us. Elijah, they're going to kill us. And he said, oh, man. Lord opened up his eyes. And then they seen on the mountain there was a host of angels slaying the army that was coming to get Elisha. Boy, let me tell you, the God you serve is awesome. The God you serve, he is mighty. Jeremiah 33:3. Call upon me and answer me, and I will show you great and mighty things which you know not of. Listen, my challenge for you today is everything in your life that's a problem, write it down. Write it down on a piece of paper. Whatever it is, write it down. But I want you to have a mindset, God, it's me and you. I want you to get a place where you get alone with God. But I want you, before you start saying anything to God, I want you to get in worship and praise. Because I'm going to tell you, not only will he inhabit that, he's going to give you some fuel, right? He's going to energize you. The Spirit of God is going to come in the room and invade that. And if right now you feel the fire of God upon you, it's because he's already been there. God is everywhere at all times. He don't show up, he's been there. You show up. Wherever you at, God is there. But the thing is, we gotta worship and praise him and recognize him, right? So before you say anything, recognize him. Because he God. You know, the same way we feel when we step out of the flesh, it says, after that there's the judgment. I fear God, but I love him. And I know he loved me. Like, when I leave here, my desire is that I'll be received with open arms, and he will say, well done. That's my desire. Well done. I'm like, okay, praise the Lord. And the thing is I know that when I see him, every question I ever had will be answered. But I don't, because I know, one of the things that I know is that I don't belong here. So some people, They live this life and they go through trial and error and they go through things and things. Let me tell you, you know, like, I thank God because I know he always loved me. And because he always loved me, I felt different. Not like everybody else. Some people could say that can make you isolate, but it did in a way make me isolate, but I understood. And when I found out that I was an alien, I thought everybody else was an alien, but I'm the alien, right? That might confuse some of y'all what I'm talking about. But in a word, if you read it, you understand. The Bible says that we are aliens to this world. You hear what I'm saying? So I found that I was an alien. Okay, I was partly right, but I was on the, you know, I was on the flesh side of things. They were aliens. I'm the alien. You hear what I'm saying? So listen, my point in saying that is to say, we're living to live again. We're living to live again. But when you commune with him on this side, you guaranteed to commune with him on that side. If you don't commune with him on this side, you're probably not going to commune with him on that side. You know what I mean? He coming for those who are waiting, who are watching, who are loving him. That's who he's coming for. And if you want to be counted in that number, you got to get in that number. And how you get in that number is get in his presence. And prayer is in his presence. I'm going to end soon. Prayer is his presence. And so what we have to do is be mindful that God, you are everything to me. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures to you guys. I know I gave you some, but I want to give you more to show you how much God wants us to get in his presence. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. We talked about that, but I want to give you the scripture. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about nothing, but in everything, pray with supplication, with thanksgiving, and let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your mind. God is saying, when you come to me, I'm going to give you peace. You're not going to leave frustrated. You're not going to leave overwhelmed. I don't care what they told you. I'm God. I don't know. Hey, listen, we're going to get into more because there's so many more. I'm not going to read them all. I'm just giving you some so you understand where we're coming from. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. 1 John 5:14. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. We talked about this, Colossians 4:2. Therefore, I say unto you that whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Mark 11:24. It's plain. And I'm going to keep reading because I want you to get it. It's God's will. This is what I'm trying to get you to understand. that if you shall call upon me and you shall go and pray unto me, I will hearken, I will listen unto you. Jeremiah 29:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, continue instant in prayer, or continue always in prayer. Romans 12:12. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, and to all that call upon him in truth. Psalms 45:18. Call upon me and I will, we already read. And when you pray, use not vain repetitions. God is not interested. You keep telling him the same thing. Believe him and leave it there. Stop taking it down, telling people what you're going through. Just leave it there. You got to keep repeating it. He heard you. It might be a warfare that's going on. Hear me. In Daniel, it was 21 days. You hear what I'm saying? God answered him the first time he prayed for 21 days. And you might say, but Daniel is not like us, because Daniel had a repetition in prayer. He probably, what would take us 3 years, took Daniel 21 days. Why? Is Daniel better than us? No. Daniel never stopped praying. And it wasn't that he was praying for the same thing. God answered him, but there was a war taking place. You hear what I'm saying? When we start praying one day and then we go a week and, you know, like, God, I don't see a change, and we start complaining, no. Stay in his presence. Ask him to open your eyes. God, what you need me to do? God, I surrender it all. Open my eyes. Help me to see like you see. Give me ears to hear so I can hear you. What are you saying to me? Because Daniel could have received, God could reveal to him that it was a war taking place. Sometimes we don't got ears to hear God. We only go with what our flesh tells us, which is the enemy of God. You listening to the enemy. Stop listening to the enemy, whether it be a spirit or your flesh. Stop listening to the enemy. Believe God. All right? Man. And let us come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I talked about Paul and Silas praying. And I'm going to just leave with this. But when thou prayest, enter into the closet. And when you shut the door, listen, get the distractions out. Get in the closet, get somewhere with you and God. Pray to the Father in secret, and your Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward you openly. Matthew 6:6. Praise God. We're going to pray real quick. We're going to pray together. I ask that you repeat this with me. We're going to just lean on God right now. Father God, I thank you that you are in control. You are always in control. And you are never not in control. My situations and my life, I lay them at your feet. And I lift them up to you. And I ask you to handle each one of them. Father God, I thank you that you receive my situations. And that they all work out for my good. And I thank you that when I see you move on my behalf, that I will not hesitate to give my testimony. And I thank you for answering all of my situations and all of my prayer. Revelation, it says, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The blood of the Lamb is Jesus. They overcame by God. All right, bottom line, they overcame by God. What Jesus did, we all overcome by that. And by the word of their testimony. As God do things for you, testify on it. Somebody might be praying and believing God for the same thing, but you receive your testimony. Testify. See, because if you brag on God, God will brag on you. Yeah, what I'm saying? Brag on God. Brag on God. And talk about his good works. And when you go before prayer, don't forget Thanksgiving. Remind him of all his good works. And then don't forget the worship and praise. You guys, I'm going to close. Father God, I just thank you for this word, Lord God. I pray that it be seated upon all of our hearts, Lord God. I pray that you would use it and bring forth fruit. And I thank you, God, that despite the small number, God, you're going to bring in multitudes, God, that need you. I pray that you would equip every person here, God, to meet the needs of the kingdom. God, that nobody in this room would feel insignificant, but God, whatever gift you placed in them, bring it out of them, Lord God. I come against intimidation. I come against fear. I come against doubt. I come against unbelief. God, I believe every person you placed here is instrumental in your kingdom. God, put the burden that you have placed in them to be who they are in you, and that they would not just live their mere life for themselves, but they would begin to live for the kingdom, and give them the ability to love you more than everything. Because when they love you more than everything, Lord God, they're going to see you love them in everything. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen.